The book of Isaiah chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, that's what they are looking for, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said, he shall judge between the people, nations, and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 5 says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. Why? Because they are filled with eastern ways. He said, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold. That is, all these their wrong ways have produced results for them. And there is no end to their treasuries. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. He said, the land is also full of idols. But it's not just about prosperity. Let's look deep inside and see what it came out of. Their idols are, they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Now, please, there's so many things I want to read, but let me stop here because I really wanted to end my reading around verse 18. Let me just read verse 10. It says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Please notice this verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, please, I want you to note that very carefully. It said, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Now, and I began to describe all the things that are lifted up, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall. Now, these are the things that the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon all these things. That is, God will bring judgment upon them. These are the things that people have produced out of walking according to their own ways. And these are the things that have given them confidence in the way in which they walked. He said, the day will come, which is called the day of the Lord, and that day shall come upon these things, and judgment shall be upon them. Now, we've been speaking about this issue of walking in divine authority. And I'm happy with what we discussed last time, and I titled that message, Drinking the Cup of the Lord. And one thing we emphasize is the fact that, authority is conferred upon people. Now, there are two ways by which people get authority. That Jesus said that the rulers or the great men of this age, they lord it over people. That is, when you find a man in the natural realm, he has acquired power, maybe through wealth or being appointed to political office. He now becomes a lord over people. But Jesus said concerning disciples that if you want to be in authority, what you will do is that you will become a servant. You will have the heart of the servant. You will always be looking for the opportunity to pour forth a blessing of to be of service into the life of somebody else. That will be your primary concern. He said, when you do that, you will find authority conferred upon you. The interesting thing about God is that, you see, God always wins. I don't know whether you understand what I mean by that. That is, let me give an example. With the believer, before God can bless you with something, material especially, he must be sure you really don't want it anymore. I don't know whether you do what I'm trying to say. That is, you will reach a place in which you say, if I perish, let me perish. God says, okay, you won't perish. But if you say, no, I must not perish. I say, go, you will perish first. That is, when we have perished you, then we can now raise you up again till you are no longer afraid of perishing. In the same manner, it is with authority. When you are no longer concerned about being in power, but being able to help and bless, then God gives you power so that you will be able to use the power to help and to bless. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the life of Joseph before Pharaoh, beautiful example. What happened to Joseph? He interpreted the dream of Pharaoh that described the problem, and then he now preferred a solution so that his solution might be carried out. Power and authority were given to him. Do you get my point? Please, you must always get that point. As we are going on, we read from Isaiah chapter 55, something that we studied when we were discussing creating the opportunities for prosperity on radio, that you must get to think the way God thinks. When you think the way God is thinking, power is automatically made available to you. He said, bring down the mountains, elevate the valley, and the glory of God will be revealed. It's an automatic process. It's not something you cry and beg for. Please, we must take our examples from scriptures. He said, these things were recorded for our learning. There was no time that Joseph sat down and began to beg and pray, God, elevate me into the throne in Egypt. You know what I'm going to say? Use all kinds of powerful prayers. No, no. It's just that every time opportunity was given to him, he was there to serve. That's what matters. And listen to me, if you have that attitude in life, you will most certainly be elevated. God will raise you up. The reason is this. He's giving you the opportunity to serve as your heart really wants to serve. God doesn't give people things. He doesn't want people to be proud and lifted. This man is now a great man. That's not what God is looking at. God wants somebody who will serve. What did Jesus say? He said, just like the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's what he was saying. He said, therefore, you want authority on his left and on his right. You must be able, must be willing and be ready to drink the cup that he's going to drink and be baptized with the baptism with which he's going to be baptized. That's what we discussed last time. Can you remember that? Let me try and avoid reading the whole thing again. Now, there's something I said which I want to continue from. That's from Isaiah chapter 2 here. Now, you see, we read from verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4 about God's plan. This is God's eternal purpose. God has always desired, and it will most certainly come to pass, that his wisdom will be shown to be the correct wisdom. God will always, we're studying on Monday, about the foolishness of man. That is what men call wisdom. God will make their wisdom foolish. He will demonstrate the foolishness in the thing that they are claiming is wisdom. That's what God wants to do. And he will demonstrate the wisdom in his own things that people call foolishness. So he said, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills. Now, he said, because of what people will find, because of the discovery of the superiority of the ways of the Lord, people will now start coming to it that, look, this is the best way to go. Please, what I want to say is very important. Let's follow this carefully, because this is the aim of Christianity. It is to demonstrate the righteousness of God. What do you mean by righteousness? Simply put, righteousness means to be right. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It simply means to be right. If I bought an equipment, let's assume we went and spent $500,000 to buy a plasma TV, all right, or an LCD display so that we can accommodate the crowd that are coming to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. And then when we finish, somebody say, look, let's plug it in here. And another person says, no, please. No, let's not plug it. We need to use a step down. This is an American design. So we have to step it down to 120. Righteousness is demonstrated when you plug it in and it works or it's destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Righteousness simply means to be right. Okay? If one man is so haughty and is so sure of what he's saying, and without listening to counsel and reading instruction, he said, look, nobody today will start to do this thing. You know, like how people say, you just plug it. And then you start seeing smoke instead of seeing photograph. Instead of seeing pictures, then the wickedness of his ways will have been demonstrated. That is righteousness, the demonstration of God's righteousness, is to find out at the end of the day that God was right. Are you getting the point I'm making? So that basically that's the meaning of the word righteousness. And God wants to do that to demonstrate that he is righteous and there is none else. That anybody who will be declared as righteous on the earth will be because he has come to agree with the way of God. Are you getting my point? And please let me emphasize this. God has a way concerning everything. There is nothing in life that God doesn't have a specific statement to make and that concerning it. There's nothing. God has something to say about everything. And to do things the way of God is actually the true meaning of righteousness, because God is always right. Are you getting my point? Now, so he said, this is the plan I have. It shall come to pass that the mountain of my house will be established above every other mountain. That is, if you find, now listen to what I want to say, it's very, very practical. If you find a man build a business, build a company, build an enterprise, build a charity work, build a ministry, according to what I say, according to my principles, you will find that at the end of everything, he will be above every other one. Look, it's a very simple thing. That's what the Lord was saying. Are you getting my point? That is, if you find a nation that is run according to my principles, he said righteousness exalts a nation. That at the end of the day, you will find that this nation is to be found above every other nation. He said, but sin is a reproach to any people. At the end of the day, anyone who's working against divine order, he will definitely go down. Now, let me tell you something. No matter how high somebody is today, he can go down. No matter how high a nation is today, he can go down. No matter how high a company is today, it can go down. And this is, the rest is also true. No matter how low somebody is today, he can go up. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, if it is security you are looking for, please find where people are walking according to righteousness. No matter how low they are today, one day they will go up. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, these are things I'm absolutely persuaded about. It's not good preaching. You know what I mean by good preaching? Say it's sweet. Let them shout. Let everybody be happy. No. It's what I am absolutely persuaded about. Because God said righteousness exalts a nation. Just by watching from outside, except there is revival, all right, in some places, no matter how high they are today. I like what the way Jeremiah said it. He said, thus will Babylon go down and shall not rise again. That is, in one day you can find some that is high and lifted coming down. But what am I trying to explain? The reason is simple. Is to fulfill the counsel of God, to fulfill the order of God. He said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Now, all the nations shall flow to it. That is, when you find where God's ways are exalted, eventually everybody will discover that that is the way to go. Are you getting my point? Now, but that's not what I want to emphasize on. I want to talk about the people through whom God does things. He said, for this reason, I explained that last week, when God gives a word, now, anything God wants to do, remember what I said? The first thing he does is to write it down. Then he allows people glimpses into his words, into his record, in what is called prophecy. That is, what is recorded, people read it and talk about it, and you say the person is prophesying. You follow what I'm saying? Now, the interesting thing about it is that in each person's life, the amount of revelation or manifestation you feel, you experience, is dependent upon taking certain measures. The first one, of course, is that of faith. You must, in your heart, agree with what God is doing. And then number two is that you must prepare by way of cooperation with what God wants to do. So, because of that principle, Isaiah now said in verse 5, he said, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, please, notice this. As at that point, what was described was not being experienced by the house of Jacob. And he now began to explain the reason in verse 6. He said, for you, talking about the Lord now, have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are doing the exact opposite of that which is recorded in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. In verse 6, he said, what are they doing currently? He said, they are filled with influences from the east, eastern ways, he says in New King James here, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. That is, the children of foreigners there, talking about people who are walking in a manner that shows that they are not in covenant with God. Do you get my point? They are walking according to laws and standards that are different from that which God had given to them. He said they are pleased with such people. Now, this is the interesting part. Now, their current ways, you have to understand something about human beings. They are not exactly, you see, revelation is interesting. What I mean is that human beings are different from animals, all right? The animals walk by instinct. They don't walk by knowledge. You know what I mean by knowledge? They walk by instinct. It's not really They don't have an idea what's going to happen tomorrow, and then they shape their ways so as to get ready for that which is going to happen tomorrow. If the animal is hungry, he wants to eat. Now, if he sees food and he doesn't eat it, it's because of the experiences of the past. Maybe they have told the dog, if you ever put your mouth in that plate, you are going to get some lashes on your back. So the dog is hungry but doesn't eat the food. Why? Because of experience. Now, human beings are the only ones that have the ability to use revelation, understanding of what we come to shape their current day activities. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, expectation of what will befall people affects them today. That doesn't happen with animals. It doesn't happen with any other group of beings. To be able to use what has not yet happened, but you have been informed concerning, and use that to control what you are doing today. No, only human beings can do that. So the order of God actually is for people to be able to see things that have not yet happened and control their life today by that which they have not even yet experienced. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is divine order. It's important we understand it. Now, but what do people do? On Monday, I was talking about what is natural and what it means to be carnal. What is carnality or fleshly is to walk like a natural man. So what would a natural man do? A natural man tends to walk more by instinct. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain something here. So the reason why these people, listen, are filled with influences from the East, and the reason why they are soothsaying like Philistines is because they have tried it and they have gotten temporary results. That's what I'm trying to explain. Do you follow what I'm saying? They have walked by experience that, look, when you do this, you get money quick. When you do this, you get promotion quick. Now, please, get what I'm saying. Because you have to be careful. You know, I keep on sounding this warning. When people say, it works, it works, it works. I said, it works. How do we judge what you are calling it works? I rather build doctrine on the word of God first. Now, experience might help you understand God. Do you get what I'm saying? But doctrine is still built upon the written word of God. And listen, whether it works, in quote, or not, is not the issue. It's whether it is right. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because there was a day, let me just explain what I'm saying. Many years ago, I was talking with somebody. I noticed something then. That, now, if you're a bank, I'm not thinking about you, all right? This is just a matter of fact. This was very common amongst bankers. They jump from one place to the other. You know, before Charles Ludo consolidated everything, slowed it down, but it's still going on. You know, you employ me today. You train me, finish. I'm not even thinking about you. I am waiting for my 3 years or so to be over. I know I will go to another place and go and get another job. And as soon as I settle down there, they employ me again. I start working. All right. Then somebody opens another bar, offers me a higher pay. I jump again. So then I considered it. I was a resident doctor. We were not jumping people. Do you follow my point? By nature of the job. So because you see, there's something about life. Different professions allow you to manifest the iniquity in the hearts of human beings in different ways. No, it's true. If you go and see when John the Baptist was talking to people, no, you see. The soldier will come, who is a type of soldiers and policemen in Nigeria or in the world of today. He will say, don't take anything from anyone by force. Be content with your wages. Do you understand my point? He's showing you that when you give a human being power, he tends to oppress people with it. Now, a cleaner in an office cannot do that. Do you get what I'm going to say? Even though it's in his heart, you will never find out. You need to give him power first before you know he's there. Pride is in the heart of people. If you don't elevate a man in the office, all right? Somebody told me something some time ago. He said he has noticed that doctors are generally very proud people, and it's not a lie. The profession allows pride. Lawyers also. They want to talk to you. They feel like they should be talking down their nose to you. You are not learned. And nonsense. The history of being learned, let me tell you for those of you who want to know. What it means to be learned, it just means you went to school. Those days, professions were learned by apprenticeship. Only 3 people went to school to learn their professions. The priests, the physician, and the scribe. That's what they call a lawyer. That's when you hear the word learned, that's what it means. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you know the law. I hope you get what I'm saying. What I'm telling you, you know, even most lawyers don't know it. The origin of the word learned, it just means that there is a formal education system that involves your going to school and reading books and writing and taking exams. All other professions, whether you were going to be a merchant, you didn't go to school to be a merchant. You just joined a merchant company and you became a merchant. You understand my point? Now, let's not digress too much. So you find out, all right, that people, each profession gives people the opportunity to manifest the evil in the heart of man generally. So look at the tax collector. They go to John the Baptist to go and pray, to go and repent. What must we do to be saved? The man will say, don't charge people more than is their rightful due. Do you get my point? Now, nobody else can do that apart from the tax collector. So he specifically spoke, all right, to issues in the heart of man that their trade had allowed them to manifest. That's just the way life is. Do you get what I'm saying? Well, if you're an unjust person, the best way to manifest it, the easiest way to manifest it, be a judge. The injustice in your heart will come out suddenly. If you're in power, you don't have to be a judge of a court. You're in the office. You are the one in charge. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm just trying to explain something. So because of the atmosphere in Nigeria then, all right? So don't think that bankers are evil people. I never said that. I'm just an average person who finds himself in the banking profession working by instinct. Now, you know, that's what I'm laying my emphasis on. Working by instinct. That atmosphere allows people to manifest what is wrong in the heart of an average person. Because that is a profession only, almost exclusively, that allows you to pop from one place to the other. The telecom people came and gave a bit of it also. But generally, till now, it's the banks that do. But then it was really terrible. So once, now this is why I'm telling the story. So once I was discussing with somebody, I was just thinking about the morality of the whole thing. I called one guy, I said, is this right? He said, it's the fastest way to move forward. I said, that doesn't make it right. To be unfaithful, untrustworthy, and undependable cannot be the fastest way to move forward. It can't be. It cannot be. I remember once when I finished my youth service, I needed a job, of course, as a young man. I had applied, I wanted to do my postgraduate, so I had applied in Luth. Now, I went for an interview about over a year, I think, before we commenced work. We're given our appointment letters maybe sometime, or we're at least admitted into the program sometime like June, July this year. But because of crisis in the health sector, then we couldn't resume work. The nurses nationwide were on strike for a long time. All right? We couldn't resume work until January. And that's, I started my residency, I think, 3rd of January 1995. Okay? Now, so I finished youth service November 93. Now, just watch that. In between, I wanted to do something. Now, God arranged it. I finally started working somewhere at night. Nights and alternate weekends in the month from July 94. Now, before that July 94, that's what I want to talk about. Now, the summary of it is that God arranged that I had the time to study. I had the time to listen to the word. I went for every teaching program in Lagos. Everywhere. I went everywhere listening to the gospel. All right? I had nothing else to do. Then I used to move around with my cousin in whose house I was living. I was a driver. And that meant that I had the car stereo to use all the time. I used to chop, not an exaggeration, 2 tapes, you know, for just, at the go, at the come. I remember the day I stood, there was first scarcity. I parked somewhere while they went to look for fuel. While inside there, I chopped 2 tapes, Wonders of Faith, 1 and 2 by Bishop Oyedepo. I mean, it was a good life. You get my point? It really was a good life. Now, this is the issue. So one day, of course, because it's me now that I understand it was a good life, and now that you think, yes, Pastor, that was good then. If you were there then, if I remember my friend Chooks, I came for Local, that's our alumni fellowship convention. As soon as I arrived, this fellowship holds in April, all right? End of April. As soon as I arrived, they said, Black, they called me Black. He said, I hear you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. That was the way, I still remember. They were gathered in front as I was approaching. He said, hey, Black, I hear you are the only jobless doctor in this country. Now, so, you know, under such circumstances, just imagine. I was in the house. Then, I remember this particular day, my auntie was around. Was I not looking for work? I was. And really, it wasn't difficult to find a job as a doctor in Lagos. Then it wasn't difficult. Let me tell you what was difficult. I'll go discuss with somebody. So you want to work for us? I say, yes. So how long do you intend to work? I said, actually, I've applied for residency in Luth. As soon as that should start, I will walk out and go and start. They will look like Otio. No. They were not interested. That happened a number of times. So that day I was talking with my auntie. And actually, this is one of the problems that people say, that how long do you plan to work? And I tell them simply, I just want to fill the time for a few weeks. Now, I did not realize I would have to wait for that long. I said, we have gone for interview, and I believe I will be admitted into the program. And as soon as they say we should start, I will leave, which meant that my chances of working for them for more than a month or two was rather narrow. And they didn't want that. Okay? So I mentioned to my auntie that that's the issue. He said, why do you tell them that you will soon leave? I said, because they ask. It's not as if I volunteered the information, really. They ask. He said, why don't you just tell them that you work for them for long? I said, that would be a lie. Why should I tell them that? I'm not planning to work for them for long. He looked like this boy himself. I said, boy, it's a simple thing. I cannot open my mouth. I know the fact. That's what used to happen. The man would say, okay, so if you start working with us, how long do you intend to work here? Because they are used to people just, you know. And I tell him simply, okay, I'm not planning to be a GP. I want to do residency. I have already attended the interview in Luth. I am going, we'll discuss the subject or the specialty I'm going into. And I say, as soon as they say start, I'm gone. Did it produce results? No. Did I get a job? No. But was he right? Yes. So I discussed with my friend, then I said that, is this, he said, this is the quickest way to move forward. I said, but the morals behind it is very, very faulty. You can't work like that. You cannot be undependable. You can't be indisciplined. You cannot take a job, sign an agreement, and break it suddenly because the other person offers to buy you out. I said, no, it does not make sense. And I remember, don't let me give details. Anyway, don't let me even digress. I'm going to talk about one footballer in Nigeria because all it became big. One club he had signed for because now he had gone for World Cup. He said, no, I know they go there again. You're going to Europe. How long did it last in Europe? Do you get the point? I mean, there's somebody I have in mind. I mean, some of you are very good at football. You know what I'm talking about. Tell somebody, everything in life is, look, all this temporary thing. Look. 15 years will pass just now. Then the fad will pass away. Do you get my point? Something that's raining now will soon end. God allows people who worked in the raining thing to decide where they will be when it ends. Listen, I said something that human beings work by instinct. That's basic human beings, natural people. That's not what God... We have the ability to walk by revelation. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The natural person runs from the cross. The natural person runs from the cross for the pain that is currently being felt. Do you follow my point? Not the joy that is set before him. Is it after the cross? What do you mean after the cross? The cross, uncle. But we have the ability. God has given us the ability to, because of revelation, understanding. Actually, we do it every time in life. All right? You find a friend who's maybe doing sharp business and making some money. You are laboring in school. You don't have time for business. You are reading. Why? You have deferred your own enjoyment for the next 4 years. Let me come out of here with a degree. Then I'll come and join him in doing business. Are you getting the point I'm making? So I explained that to this guy. They said, no. Doesn't make sense. We cannot work like that. I don't care how fast your promotion is. I don't care that, okay, you have increased your income just by jumping through. You know, sometimes they go around in circles. You are in bank A today. By tomorrow, you are in bank B. By the following day, you are in bank C. Then you come back to bank A, 2 steps higher than the other people you left there. Just because if you are an assistant manager here, when you are going to the next place, they make you a deputy manager. And then those ones save. Anyway, that's why a lot of them collapsed. You cannot run a business like that and eventually you won't collapse. If you check the strongest banks now, all right, the real solid ones, I don't mean the fly-by-night ones. They didn't like stuff like that. In fact, a lot of, even those guys knew, the real good ones, where are you coming from? You mentioned, what are you there? Say a manager. Say, here, we'll make you assistant manager if you want the job. And we're not going to pay you more than they are paying you if you want the job. Because the only thing is that they know they are good. They're not begging you. You want to work with them. Yeah, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. There are places that people don't jump to. Because you jump there, they bring you down first. They bring your head to a real level. No, they don't want to fool you. You think you go around saying you're a senior manager. They know that the substance, your intestine, is the intestine of an officer. That is, between you and senior manager, there's assistant manager, there's manager. So they've checked your makeup. The fact that they are fooling you somewhere else, they're calling you something, they are not fooled. They know. They want to settle you. This one I'm making. I said, look, this doesn't make sense. Because it is just against basic principles. The only principle that agrees with it is quick gain. Do you get my point? The only explanation that makes it make sense is quick gain. Do you get the point I'm making? Yes. And I said, look, let me tell you something. You have to be honest, careful how you interpret things. You may find somebody move from here to there and he was elevated. And you think it means you should. You don't know why he moved. I was talking to a friend recently. I said, where are you working? He told me, he said, why? He said, nah, he decided that, look, then he needs to work, be innovative. The job where I was working before, I was becoming dead, you know? Just, he had a lot of pay, but just routine, go in, go out, no. And the guy said, no, I can't just need this, go in, go out every day. So let's go to a new field. You know, there are people who are like that. You copy such people, you're in trouble. Do you understand? You don't know what's really driving him. He's not looking for quick gain. Now, please, follow me in what I'm saying, you know? Because, you know, we're analyzing this scripture. It said, for their land is also full of silver and gold. Why? He said, there is no end to their treasuries. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. He said, but verse 8, their land is also full of idols. That is their idolatry. Okay? By their influences, that is the influences from the east, by working with the children of foreigners, they have arrived at quick gain. Please, do you follow what I'm saying? That is the reason. Not that they are stupid, you know what I mean? They saw the quick gain. Therefore, they did that which was basically not right. But you know what this is telling us? That's why I read down to verse 18. He said, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. You know what he said? For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Now, what am I explaining? That you find that the fact that something is producing rapid results. So why doing what is not right? Quickly, 1, 2, 3. I have built a very big house. I have stocks. I have this. God said, don't worry. Listen to me, house of Jacob. The day is coming that I will visit the result of iniquity. Please, you must get the point. Now, let's get back to verse 5. Now, in fact, verses 2, 3, and 4 described the plan of God, what God really wants to do. But you will see, if we just read in between the lines from the things we have said so far, that God is saying simply, what I want to do may not appear like it will give quick results, but it will give enduring results. Do you follow my point? That if anyone is going to be established permanently, if anyone is going to reside permanently in the top of the mountains, then he has to do what Isaiah said in verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know why I said all this plenty talk? To emphasize the fact that walking in the light of the Lord is also for those who are currently enjoying the wages of iniquity. You follow my point? I don't mean that walk in the light of the Lord so you can solve all the problems. Because it's very easy to repent when you're in trouble. You know, repentance is very easy. When calamity don't jump past you, repentance is very easy. But the interesting part is that Isaiah was not preaching to those who were experiencing calamity. He was preaching to those who were experiencing what? Prosperity. Because he said their land is also full of silver and gold. Yet he was shouting to them, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What does that tell you? It's simple. We are not judging by results. We are judging by instruction. We are judging by revelation. We are judging by that which is written. We are judging by prophetic utterances from the mouth of his ministers. That's what we are judging by, not by what we are experiencing. That's what I told myself, my friend. That, now, let me just say on natural plane, it was not as if one day I was proved right. But having considered it again, I said it is still wrong. It is still wrong to tell me the quickest way to move up is unfaithfulness. It is still wrong. You can't tell me that the quickest way to move forward is being undependable. It's still wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? And please don't forget, God is judging every act, every thought that produces acts is deciding where God will place one today and not place the other person. If you didn't tune in on Thursday, I think you should go and listen to that message. Where I described faithfulness in that which belongs to another. Please, if you didn't tune in on Thursday, make sure you get the CD. Because one of the things I explained there is that people should be careful. Master said, come and give me an account of your work. He knew sack time had come. He said, I am too old to dig. And to beg, shame is too plenty. I read the simple principle there. If you don't handle that which belongs to another person well, one or two things will come upon you. Of course, one day you will lose it, and then you have to return to either working extremely hard, harder than your age can bear, or you start begging. But what does that tell us? It tells us simply that if we handle that which belongs to another person very well, then when that season comes, no. The Bible says, those that fear the Lord will never be in want of anything good. What I like to say all the time to people is that life is spiritual. It's spiritual. You can never prove God wrong. It's not possible. You are too small. The problems that people think that are, let's enjoy for the next 10 years. In fact, you know, someone was telling me, I was reading somewhere once about the problem of the black man in America. He said he leaves school. They offer him loans. He said it doesn't cross his mind that loans are meant to be paid back. You give $50,000, he takes it. Then when he has to start working for the people he borrowed money from, he said, this country is unfair. And I said, but they gave you the money. Don't know what you will pay. What I'm going to say is that all the things we do, there is pay day for everything. Sometimes it's delayed. That is where people will be established. You know, I'll say it like this all the time, that the wrong time to be poor is not when you are 20-something, when you are in your 30s. That is a good time to be poor. What's the big deal? It's a very good time to be poor. As a young 20-something-year-old man, trek all over town. Wear bathroom slippers to where people wear high-heeled shoes. It's good. The time it will be wrong is when your children are in secondary school, they are entering university. That is when it's bad. That is when it is a sign of God's judgment. A young man that is poor, what is the big deal? It's a phase of life. I mean, you know, one of the things I don't understand, oh God, please, I like to say this all the time. One thing you must never do is to try and impress people. People say, maybe people are going somewhere and say, No, I've seen people talk like that, they'll be deceiving themselves. They say, young man, say, no, I only wear a money suit. You're looking at him. I don't go talk. From time, God helped me with that one, me. He said, your suit is fine. Is it an Armani? I said, it's written Armani, but between you and I, let me tell you the truth. It's a Chinese Armani. I will tell you simply, what is it? Me, Armani suit, $2,000. Why should I be showing up that I'm wearing $2,000 suit? Will you like me if you hear that? I spent $2,000 to do it. No, I'm not saying it's evil. People say that, why should you spend that amount of money if you have that amount? Do you get my point? Uh-huh. But the point I'm making is this. I don't know why young people want to be impressing people. No. God helped me with that thing. I don't even know how he did it. Okay, it's instruction from the word. I learned it long ago. Impress somebody? Nah, yeah. Somebody said, Pastor Panky, why don't you have a car? That was then. Why don't you have a car? It's because I don't have money. That is the simple reason. You want another revelation? No, I will say it loud and clear. Why don't you have money? Because this is where I work, and this is a regular salary. You want me to show you my pay slip? Why don't you look for another job? No, I don't want. Right now, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm reading my Bible at night. A young man, I say with pride. No, really. I remember one day, one of my friends said I should please escort him somewhere. I said, okay, if I'll go with you, we'll also go to that place. I didn't know it was a great mistake I made. I said, let me go and check my friend. Because it was evening, to us walking in the hospital, we are closed, and it was evening, I just wear one small slipper. Thank God, no people have slipper that day. Wear a small t-shirt. Ha! Oh boy, where I went to look for a person was in one of these high-rise buildings on VI. I didn't know that for the bank at 7 o'clock, you still have to. I just entered the place. I see everybody looking handsome and fine. Now I look my t-shirt again. Instead of my friend to even read the sign, he now carried me to every table. This is my friend. It was everywhere. I look at this boy like, what's your problem? Can't you see they're all wearing nice with me? Because for us, we left our apartment in the evening. Knowing that these guys were still slaving till 8 p.m. No, what I'm just saying is that, look, even those days, that one, it didn't intimidate me. It wasn't my business. I said, this is the season. Are you following my point? Look, listen. As God lives,